You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Why should Christians have a sense of urgency in preaching the gospel? Learn more about our calling to evangelism in week 5 of our series, Forward.
All right, good evening, 7 p.m. service. Let's greet your seat mentality. I'm so glad you could make it tonight. Welcome, everyone. For those of you who are new here or you just got invited, welcome once again to Victory. And we are currently going through this series called Forward. If you've been with us for the past 5 weeks, we are currently going through this series. And this series is all about knowing or having a better grasp or understanding of the qualities of a disciple. In other words, this series is all about knowing how to become better disciples, how to become better followers of Jesus. And this is a 9-week series, and we are at the halfway mark. This is the 5th week. So how many of you were able to join us for the past 5 weeks, the complete attendance? You know, thank you so much. So great job. So we're at the halfway point, and today we're going to look into the 5th week or the 5th installment of this series. Now, just a quick recap, we tackled so many things. And one thing about this series, that this series, these qualities, falls into 3 categories when we talk about being a disciple. Before we get into the 5th installment, we need to be refreshed and reminded, what is it nga about when we say someone is a disciple of Jesus? Okay, I believe that it's important for us to be on the same page when we say, I am a disciple of Jesus, I am a follower of Christ. What does it mean when we say someone is a disciple? And for that, a disciple is simply someone who first follows Jesus, fishes for people, and fellowships with fellow believers. All our 9 installments falls on these 3 categories. The first 3 that we talked about, when we talked about spiritual disciplines, essential doctrines, life change, all of that revolves around following Jesus. Last week, we started talking about what it means to fish for people. That being followers of Jesus, being Christians or believers, we're not just called to follow Jesus, we're also called to fish for people. That is, we are called to go out there and preach the gospel. And we started last week talking that before we are to preach the gospel, we need to have a firm understanding, a good understanding of what the gospel is. So that's why our 4th installment was about understanding the gospel. And lastly, when we talk about when someone is a disciple, it is first someone who fellowships with fellow believers. That because Christianity is not a walk alone, it is done together with others. You can't do it alone. And we're going to have it in the last 3 installments. Now this week, we're still going to be talking about fishing for people. If last week was all about understanding the gospel, now it's all about preaching the gospel. So tell us unit muna, preaching the gospel. There, today we're going to talk about what does it mean nga ba to preach the gospel. Because last week was all about understanding, being refreshed, what this important message is. Now it's all about preaching, going out there, fishing for people, bringing this message with us, preaching the gospel. Now, Matthew 4 verse 19 says, and he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Just a quick recap or a quick reminder for all of us. Now, when we say fish for people, this isn't just a Victory thing. This isn't something that we made up a few years ago when Victory started, but it's based on biblical principles. Jesus, when the first time he met some of his first disciples, he told them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus himself, parang disclaimer na niya, if you're going to follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're going to go out there one day and start preaching the gospel and start fishing for people. And likewise, for all of us here today, if you call yourself a believer, it is part of a package. You cannot say, I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm not going to fish for people. No, it is part of it. When we say we are a believer, a follower of Jesus, it goes hand in hand. Now, we are to fish for people. Tell your seatmate, get ready to fish for people. This is all about preaching the gospel. Before I tackle about preaching the gospel, what is the gospel? The gospel is simply the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life he should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation to all who repent and believe in him. So this is the gospel. This is the good news that we are going to bring to our campuses, workplace, communities, and families. This is the message, the good news that we're going to go out there and preach. Once again, it's important for us to be refreshed about this every day. It's not enough na you get to hear it once on a Sunday, then di na ka kailangan ma-remind and refresh. No, every day, we need to preach ourselves of the gospel. But also, of course, very important, we need to go out there and preach it and share this message, this good news to people. Now, for this installment, we're going to look into a story in the book of Acts chapter 10, when Peter met this guy named Cornelius. Then the entirety of this story can be found in the entire chapter 10 of the book of Acts. But for the sake of time, I'm only going to be looking into just a few verses about the story. I-summarize na ako ang story. But if you want to read the entire story, feel free to do so when you go home, have your quiet times, read the entirety of chapter 10. So for our story today, I'm going to look into a story in Acts chapter 10. This is when Peter met this guy named Cornelius. To start it off, in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 2, it gives us a brief description of who Cornelius is. We know who Peter is. He's one of the apostles of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, and all that. But who was this Cornelius person? And how did they meet? And why did God want them to meet? In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, it says there, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. Verse 2, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. So Cornelius was this Roman official or soldier. He was a centurion, meaning he was a guy in charge of 100 men, as the name implies. And he was not a Jewish person. He was a Roman person. But he was a God-fearing man. He loved God. He prayed to God. And he was generous. And while he was doing so, while he was praying one day, he had this vision from God. He saw this angel of the Lord, and it told him to go and find Peter. He was instructed by God to find Peter. So he sent some of his men to Joppa, to where Peter was staying. He told them, go to this place and get Peter for me. While this was happening, Peter was staying in someone's place, Simon the Tanner. And while he was praying, then he got hungry. Anyone here nagpainin mo, nagigutom mo, nagpainin mo? Peter got hungry, and while he was hungry, he got into a trance. And in verse 11, it says there, and saw the heavens open. Peter himself had a vision as well. And he saw the heavens open, and something like a great sheet, a blanket, descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. Verse 13, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. In other words, bon appetit, kaon na Peter, eat all you can. Verse 14, but Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Verse 15, and the voice came to him again a second time, what God has made clean, do not call common. So it's kind of like this. Ang nakita ni Peter, it's kind of like this. Imagine nga one day, you're praying in your home, in your rooftop, if ganun mo sa rooftop, and all that. Then while you're praying, gutom na ka, you saw a vision of like this big, huge blanket with all the animals, the birds, being laid down, and someone tells you, go, kill and eat. Kauna, eat all you can. Lechon, fish fillet, whatever. So Peter was told to eat. But culturally speaking, the Jews, they had strict rules on what they could only eat. And that's why Peter responded, Lord, I will not eat these things. These are unclean. When we say unclean, for them, it was not allowed for them to eat. They couldn't eat it based on their law or their practices. So Peter didn't want to eat it. That's why he responded that way. And this vision happened 3 times, Camp Peter. And Peter couldn't understand what was going on. Why did God want him to eat the food? It wasn't something that they usually eat. Why did it happen? And while this happened, while he was trying to figure out what was happening, then Cornelius' men came, met him, they explained to him, they brought him to Cornelius. Peter met Cornelius, and then they talked, and Cornelius explained to him, and you know what? God came to me in a vision and told me to get you or to look for you. And Peter, when he heard that, when he realized what God was doing about Cornelius' vision, he put 2 and 2 together. You know? Cornelius' vision, his vision, their 2 experiences, he put it together. Parang nagka-light bulb moment si Peter. Parang, aha, nag-guess na ako. And that's why in verse 34, so Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. Peter finally understood the vision that he saw. Verse 35, but in every nation, anyone who fears him does what is right is acceptable to him. Now, why did Peter respond this way? And what can we learn from this story when we say about preaching the gospel? What are the things we can get from this story? Now, for us to understand this, let's just look into first the context of Jewish culture. Now, as a culture or as a people, Jewish people, they were very xenophobic towards other races or other cultures. These like maki-join, okay, or maki-fellowship, maki-kuyog with other races or other people, especially the Romans. These are the kind of people na medyo strong sila of exclusivity. Unlike, let's say, Filipinos. Diba kita mga Filipino, we go well with foreigners, diba? But how many of you here have foreign friends? Badaganta siguro, we have Ridge here, who's from Pakistan. Filipinos, we thrive wherever we go, wherever foreign land that is. Kaya na to maka-make friends. But the Jews, in their time, they didn't want to associate themselves with a lot of non-Jewish people. They had strict rules and guidelines. And that's why Peter, as a Jewish person himself, even though he heard from Jesus when Jesus went up to heaven during the Great Commission and he told them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Even though he heard that, Peter was there. He didn't first automatically understand, man, I need to preach the gospel to non-Jewish people as well. In other words, Peter and many of the Jewish people, even though they were a Christian, they had this selective mindset that they would only preach the gospel to the Jewish people. Peter had that mindset, even though Jesus was explicit in saying, you know what, go to all nations, preach the gospel in all nations. But for Peter, he couldn't grasp it. And now, when he had this vision and his experience with Cornelius, knowing that God wanted him to be with this guy and preach the gospel to this guy, then that's when he figured out, the light bulb moment in his head happened. Now, wait, okay, kaya pala gibakita ko ni Lord a vision about all those animals. God shows no partiality. What we can learn from this firstly in this story is that we preach the gospel because everyone needs to hear it. Tell your seatmate, everyone. If you were here last week, okay, I understand the gospel. Kasi preach na ako man. Who's the kind of person that I should go up to preach the gospel to? Kasi pa-destroy na ako about the gospel. How do I know? Pwede niya ka person, kanya siya dili pwede. How do I know? Well, the qualifier is this. It's everyone. To everyone who has not heard of the gospel, to everyone who doesn't know of Jesus, who has not put their faith in Christ, they need to hear the gospel. And Peter here in this story was slowly getting it. Or he finally got it. Man, even this Roman guy needs to hear the gospel. Not just my fellow Jewish people. The gospel needs to be preached to everyone, to all nations. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Go therefore and make disciples. In other words, preach the gospel to people of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To all nations. In other words, if we are here today and we are believers in Christ and we want to preach the gospel, we are called to preach the gospel to everyone. To anyone we can find. If you're working here, to anyone in your workplace, to anyone in your campus, in your family, we are called to preach the gospel. And you know what? Sometimes we can be like Peter. Sometimes we can be parang medyo selective. And being selective, it's kind of innate in us. Diba, whenever someone would give us, treat us, these donuts, for example. Usually, diba, when someone gives us donuts, oy, kwag donuts, diba, mamili ta. Diba, what's your favorite donut? Katong matcha, chocolate. The point is, when we had those donuts, mamili pa ta. Ay, dili guwani kay cheap pa lang tao. For some of us, mamili tao sa gana na to. If you go shopping, when you go shopping, go to Robinson's, Sleep Plaza, and all that, you don't just go in, take a t-shirt, and then buy it directly. When we go in, most of us, magmili pa ta, musugod-sugod pa, lantaw pa sa nabang color, mumash pa sa rest of our attire. Anyone here, dugay kayo mo makapili o clothes, it takes you minutes, sometimes hours. I know of someone nga, pag mag-shopping siya, twice pa siya mubalik or three times before siya mupili sa usaka shop kung sayang paliton niya. That's actually me. But the point is, mamili ta, diba? Whenever it's closed. Or you'll say, eat all you can buffet. Home here, you love to experience an eat all you can buffet. When you go to eat all you can buffet, diba? We don't just grab anything randomly. Mamili ta. Some of you would go to the meat section. Or maybe for some of you, the Asian, the Korean, Japanese section. Sushi, kimchi, okay. Or yes, for some of you, desserts first. Cakes, ice cream, yogurt, chocolates. The point is, it's kind of innate in us to be selective. We choose. That's how we are. But when it comes to preaching the gospel, we cannot have that selective mindset nga, ah, kani po din siya kay feel na ko sure shot ni. Kani siya, ah, rin siya, din siya maminaw. Warag hopeless ni siya ka case. Ah, kani siya, pang full-time, right? Sila rin ni Brian, sila rin, Pastor Kin, ani nga person, kani dalira ko. Kani rin nga person akong i-disciple or preach ng gospel. Jesus didn't tell us to be selective in whom we preach. He didn't say nga, go out there, preach the gospel to the nations, and as a specific criteria, kids like pwede reach yan. But no, we are to go out there and preach the gospel. Some of you here today, you might have people you're thinking, you've been avoiding in your workplace, in your campus, you feel like, what if preach na ako sa gospel? Ayaw ra, lisod kayo, lahi na lang, or, nee, weird dagoy siya, or, basi, reject ko yun niya. But you know what? We are called to preach to everyone. If you won't walk up to that person and preach the gospel, who will? That is why in our victory groups, we have victory groups of different age groups. We have victory groups in our campuses, victory groups for our single professionals, and of course, even for the married people. We even have victory groups for preteens and kids. We have a victory group sa mga senior citizens nato. We have victory groups for all age groups. Why? Because everyone needs to hear the gospel. Whether that be 6 years old or in his 60s, that person needs to hear the gospel. He has not heard the gospel. Whether you're married, single, working, or a student, we have people who go out there and preach the gospel. We are called to preach the gospel. Whatever the status in your life you are in right now, if you are a believer, you are called to preach the gospel and where God has put you. We shouldn't be selective. Whoever God leads us to preach, we need to preach that person to preach the gospel. And not just Shindo Magete. Because we say everyone, because the Bible says, go to all nations. We also send teams. If you've been in Victory for the longest time, you know that we send cross-cultural teams, 10-day missionaries who go to different countries and do ministry work. They try to preach the gospel in the different nations. They help the church for 10 days. Why? Because even those nations, they need to hear the gospel. That is why we send teams to the nation of Vietnam, Pakistan, Myanmar, Mongolia, India. This coming July, we're sending a team to Cambodia. We are sending these teams because we believe the nations of the world need to hear of the gospel. So the next time you go to your workplace, the next time you go to your campus, next time you go to your families, if there's anyone among them who has not heard the gospel, they need to hear the gospel. And I believe for some of us here today, God is impressing people in our hearts and our minds. Kung kinsa dapat pichan nato. That annoying classmate that you have, that workmate that you don't want to work with kaysa mukan ka, or your sibling, or your cousin, you know what? Those people, they need to hear the gospel. And who knows, you could be that person to bring that message to them, that message of hope and love to them. And by doing so, produce life change in them. Next thing we can learn from this story, in Acts chapter 10, verse 42. Continuing with the story, after Peter opened it up in that verse we read a while ago, he then preached the gospel to Cornelius. And in verse 42, he says there, and he commanded us, this is Peter talking about Jesus, to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And to him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So in other words, Peter was recounting after he said, you know what, God shows no partiality. Then he was talking about the gospel. He preached the gospel to Cornelius and his household. Then after that, he summarizes, you know what, we have been commanded by Jesus to preach the gospel. So again, if you're ever here today and you're wondering, do I really need to preach the gospel? Is there no other way nga someone will hear about Jesus? Someone will have life change? Kailangan ba preachan ang person dyan? The answer to that is yes. Kailangan dyan siya. We preach the gospel because we have been commissioned to do it. Remember that verse we read a while ago, Matthew 28? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. In your Bibles, in some translations, there's this subtitle at the start of this verse. And that title is the Great Commission. This is Jesus' last words before he went back up to heaven. Before he left the disciples, his last words to them were, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now, I don't know about you, but if I have like 1 minute left to say something to my loved ones, I would make sure it's the most important things that I'm going to say. I'm not going to say mag-joke pa ko for 1 minute. Asayang. I'm going to say the most important things in my last 1 minute of my life. And I believe some of us, or all of us, we're like that. Well, for Jesus, before he went up, the last thing he said was, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. He commissions us. His last words were, go out there and make disciples. It is an inescapable truth. That's part of a believer. We are called to make disciples. And that is why we do it. Because Jesus told us. But I hope and pray when we go out there and preach the gospel, it's not gonna be out of compulsion lang. Maparang, wala ko choice kasi, kailangan buhaton or else, dili ko mabless ni Lord. Because I just have to, maski di ko ganahan. May we preach the gospel out of a genuine desire and willingness to do so. If you're here today and you've never done it and somehow parang you still have hindrances or you don't feel like it pa, you know, don't wait for the feeling. Just step out in faith. Do it. The feeling will just follow. Talking about motivations to preach the gospel, I hope we do so with compassion. Keyword here being compassion. Remember that story when Jesus saw the crowds? A few weeks ago, we had this series called Beyond the Signs. It's about the miracles of Jesus. And in one time, in one of those miracles, Jesus was looking at a crowd, a great crowd, And while he saw the crowd, he felt such compassion for them, because when he saw them, it was like he was looking at sheep without a shepherd. Sheep who were harassed, sheep who were in need of help. The word compassion there, ang Greek word niya is the word splagnitsumai. I've said this a few weeks ago. And splagnitsumai means to be moved as to one's bowels. It's like, imagine kang GLBM mo. Diba? Kung GLBM mo, if your stomach growls, guarantee mo, it will move you to do something. It will tell you, man, I have to go to what? The CR. I have to do my business. Urgent, priority one ni siya. Now, when we say compassion in that context, kan Jesus, when he saw the crowds, it's like, inanak intense ang compassion ni Jesus. It's like having LBM right there. It would entail him to do something. The same thing with us. When we have compassion for people, I hope na it will be such a degree na it's like, it makes us urgent in preaching the gospel. Na parang, man, I need to preach this to my cousins, to my castmates, to my workmates. I need to get this message across. Romans 10 verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Yay, good news. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But the challenge here is, verse 14, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard?" Verse 15, "And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" In other words, man, good news to anyone who believes in Jesus, they are saved. They get to be with God, forgiveness of sins, salvation. But the thing is, how will they have that? How will these people experience that if no one goes to them and preaches the gospel to them? If no one walks up, has the courage to risk rejection, how will they experience salvation if no one preaches the gospel to them? Church, the challenge is there for us. There are people out there who are in need of hearing the gospel. And hope and prayer, our compassion will motivate us to preach the gospel. Now, when we look at these people, even though they look just happy, okay naman yata sila. Look at Cornelius. He was a God-fearing man. He prayed to God. He gave alms to the poor. But yet, he still needed to hear the gospel. Doing good things. But because he had not heard of the gospel, he had not put his faith in Christ completely, he needed to hear the gospel. That's why God orchestrated the way that Peter was to preach the gospel to this guy. The same thing with us. There are people in life na feel nato, ah, okay na sila, happy rami sila. Eh, buta naman siya, tiksimba naman siya. He's a good worker or he's a good student, straight A na siya. He doesn't need the gospel man siguro. As long as that person has not heard the gospel, that person needs the gospel. You need to preach the gospel to that person. No matter how much good works that person does, no matter how happy that person may seem, without the gospel, without the saving grace of God, that person, when that person dies, he will be eternally be separated from God. For the wages of sin is death. That person needs the gospel for him to be saved. For some of us here today, one of the things that hinders us is rejection and sometimes bias and prejudices. If we know what is more important, if we know what is at stake, if we know that souls are at stake, the lives of people are at stake, then what is being ridiculed and mocked compared to saving that person? I hope and pray we will not risk rejection, because at the end of the day, it's not going to be you who's going to force that person to believe. It is God himself who's going to work and do something to that person. We are merely the spokesperson for God. We are merely like ambassadors of God. We go out there, our job is to preach the gospel. The one who's going to transform that person's life is God. So maybe work up the courage, church, to preach the gospel to people. Maybe not be selective or prejudiced or biased. Ah, kanisya, nasa tattoo, hindi siya pwede ma-preach ang gospel. Kanisya, kay nakakwilyo, nakinapay, ah, pwede niya preach ang gospel. And if you're wondering, how can I do that? How can I start preaching the gospel, Tom? I wanna start, but I don't know how to go about it. Saan na ako ba? The good thing is, we have a lot of tools. We have a lot of ways to help you preach the gospel. If you're here today, you wanna start or learn how to start preaching the gospel, reaching out to people, you know what? We have several ways to help you. Firstly, we have one-to-one. One-to-one, the personal discipleship guide. It's a simple booklet, or it's an app you can download for free as well that will help you go out there and disciple people. It's like a booklet or a guide that will help you preach the gospel to people. If you don't know how to start, if you don't know what verses should I use, how should I preach the gospel to people, one-to-one is a great guide for you to use and preach the gospel to your workmates, to your classmates, to your family members. Use one-to-one. It's a great way for that. And of course, victory groups. You can start your own victory group. We have discipleship classes. Throughout the year, we have several discipleship classes designed to help people be equipped in discipling people so that they would know what to do, how to lead a victory group, how to do one-to-one, or different scenarios. We have these classes to equip people so that they will be ready in preaching the gospel, so they will have what they need to preach the gospel out there. Now, if you want to learn more about these things, okay, you want to learn more, inquire more about one-to-one, victory groups, our discipleship classes, you know what? Feel free to just go to our discipleship booth after the service. We'd love to help you jumpstart how to disciple or preach the gospel to someone. If that's who you want to learn, we're here to help. We are a church that exists to honor God and make disciples. And we will do whatever it takes to help you preach the gospel and disciple people around you. So I encourage you guys, talking about preaching the gospel. If you're wondering, ang preaching the gospel, di ba pang full-time lang na, pang minister lang na, pang pastor lang na, tipong parang Peter, pang apostles lang. Is it really true, Tom, na even me, an ordinary person, a student, a worker, or a family man, can I really preach the gospel? If ever you wonder that, let me just show you some brief examples of testimonies of people who've stepped out in faith and preached the gospel. Firstly is this guy. His name is Matt. Okay, he's one of our student leaders here in the church, one of our volunteers. And the amazing thing about Matt was that last year, someone did one-to-one with him. He was discipled. And the amazing thing was, as he was going through one-to-one, wala pa siya na mag one-to-one, but as he was going through one-to-one, he also did one-to-one with someone. As long as you're one chapter ahead, you can do one-to-one with someone. With Matt, while someone was discipling him, he just heard about the gospel and all that, he was doing the same to one of his friends. He did one-to-one to one of his friends. And not just that, he even did a victory group with his friends naman. Before even he had this victory weekend, he did one-to-one, he did a victory group while he was still new. It wasn't like super trained na siya or something. So in other words, at the end of the day, even if you feel like you're unqualified, you feel like di ba ka as trained as Peter or Paul or the apostle or something, you know what? God can use you. God can use you to make a difference. God can use you to preach the gospel and make a difference in the people around you. Another person is this lady right here, Aiza, okay? Aiza Gumandol. She's one of our leaders here in Victory Dumaguete, but now she's in Saudi. And the amazing thing about this woman right here was that someone did one-to-one with her, and she came from a Muslim background. From her, all her siblings, all six of her siblings got one-to-one, got discipled, went through Victory Weekend, and became believers of Christ. And it all started with her. Someone did one-to-one with her and it cascaded. It opened the door for an entire family to be discipled. And in fact, even their mother got discipled. Okay, someone preached the gospel sa mama nila. Their mother went through Victory Weekend and even now is leading her own victory group. Now they're believing for their father nila. They're believing that their father will hear the gospel or will receive the gospel. Amazing story right there. And not just that, Aiza, when she got one-to-one, she did one-to-one later on with another person naman, and that person ended up becoming one of the campus missionaries in Victory Dipolog. There's no telling what happens when you preach the gospel. When you preach the gospel to someone, you might just bring life change, not just to that person, but especially to the family of that person. Her story is just one of those. Another story, sila Janji and RJ, right, one of our leaders here, a married couple. For those of you who are married, you're thinking, para na single, para na mga estudyante, kasi free sila, nasa free time. We have here a married couple, Janji and her husband, RJ. They have a daughter. This married couple, amazing. They do what they can to reach out young students in Norsu. They would use their house to invite people, do victory groups in Norsu, do what they can, do one-to-one with students. Even though they're married, they both have jobs, they're raising a kid, but amidst the busyness of life, amidst all that, they still find time to preach the gospel. Even though they're married, it's not a hindrance when you get married. All the more, it gives an avenue to preach the gospel to people. That's just a slice of the stories and testimonies that we have of people stepping out and reaching and preaching the gospel to people. If you want to learn more of that, just ask any of our leaders, our ushers. If ganan ka maka-learn more about this, just ask us after the service. We'd love to share more about that. Now, Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Amazing thing. As we conclude this story about Peter and Cornelius, it says here, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. While Peter was preaching, talking to Cornelius, the Holy Spirit fell on all the people who were present. And verse 45, then the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. As we wrap up this story, we see something amazing. As Peter is preaching the gospel, talking to them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. One of the times that we see in the Bible that the Holy Spirit coming to people was when the apostles were together in the room. They waited for the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit, and Peter, emboldened and empowered, went out and preached the gospel. Now, why am I including this? Because one thing that's very much at work when we talk about preaching the gospel, sometimes when you hear the thought, preach the gospel, go out there, preach sa imong kaila diha or mga workmates kaila nimo. I understand for some of you here today, you might feel intimidated. You might feel overwhelmed. Man, saan na ako ni? How do I start the conversation? What if I make a mistake? What if this person rejects me? Saan na ako ni? Bright kain ni siya. What if di na ako matubag yung answer? What if sayo ako matubag? Saan na ako ni siya? The very first time I did one-to-one with someone, it was someone who came from the States. He lived sa States. Came back, couldn't understand Bisaya. So, go one-to-one kog English yung Tagalog. While I was holding the booklet, I tell you, it was my first time. I was so afraid to make a mistake. My hands were shaking. Bro, muna yung one-to-one, bro. Krug-krug ang kamot na ako. Literally, I kid you not, my hands were shaking like this because I was so afraid. And it's natural. If you're here today and you're thinking, man, I'm so afraid to make a mistake, you know what? Mistakes will happen. Don't feel like you have to be the perfect disciple, the perfect preacher to preach the gospel. And it doesn't have to be on a pulpit or on a stage like this. You can preach the gospel to someone, meet someone on the coffee shop, have an appointment with someone, talk to your workmate somewhere. But again, going back, why am I including this part? Because when we ever talk about preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit is very much at work. At the end of the day, we preach the gospel because the Holy Spirit empowers us to be effective witnesses. In other words, we can't be effective in preaching the gospel out there if we do not have the Holy Spirit in us. But the good news for us is, yes, it's a big task. Yes, it's a big challenge to preach the gospel to people, to risk rejection, to go out there, you know, preach the gospel to people, and at the risk of not being able to answer their questions and all those things. But you know what? The good thing is, you are not alone. The good thing is, God is with you. The Holy Spirit empowers you. When the gospel was preached to Cornelius and his household, they received the Holy Spirit. At work is the Holy Spirit. That's why it's Him who makes life change possible. But not just that. Talking about preaching the gospel itself. Peter, the first time he preached the gospel, 3,000 were added. Can you imagine that? Preached ka 3,000 himong Christians. How amazing that is. But do you know why he was able to do that? It was because he had the Holy Spirit in him. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The reason why Peter was so effective, and this is the Peter who denied Jesus 3 times, the Peter who fell in the water because he had doubts in why he was walking on water, that same Peter, that same rash, impulsive Peter, that Peter preached once, 3,000 were added, not by his own might, not by his own skill, he was just a fisherman. But 3,000 were added because the Holy Spirit was with him. And if you're here today, you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit with you, you have all that you need to go out there and preach the gospel powerfully and effectively. The word power from that verse comes from the word dunamis, which is where we get our modern day word for dynamite. And if you know dynamite is pretty powerful. One stick, it can cause a massive explosion, massive power. And that dunamis power that we get from the Holy Spirit, you have that in you. And when you preach the gospel, you're not just saying a text, saying a speech that's powerless. No, you are doing something that has power. The Holy Spirit gives you that power when you preach. Now, when you preach, it's going to shake the very foundation of that person's life. When you preach, it's going to change the way he perceives it. When you preach the gospel, it's going to do so many things in the life of that person. You unleash power when you preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit gives you that power. Gives you that power to become what? To be an effective witness. A witness, if you watch mga court drama and TV series, whatever, A witness is someone who tells what? Who tells what he experienced, what he saw, what he heard in a particular scenario or a crime, usually. And that witness only tells the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The same, and we are called to be witnesses. And we will be effective witnesses when we have the Holy Spirit with us. That's a good thing, church. We have the Holy Spirit with us. We have all that we need to be effective in preaching the gospel. If you're today and you're thinking, man, I'm only a 3-week-old Christian. Doesn't matter. As long as you have the Holy Spirit, you can preach the gospel. How can I preach the gospel? I'm only a student. I'm young. How can I preach the gospel? I'm too old. And how can I preach the gospel? I'm this and that. You know what? We have so many excuses why we can't preach the gospel. But no matter how much excuses that is, you know what? God wants us to preach the gospel. And He has given us all that we need to preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control." God gave us not a spirit of fear. God gave us not a spirit that's fearful, that's afraid to preach ko ani dili, preach ko ani. He gave us a spirit of power. That to all of you today, you have access to that power. To go out there and you know what? Gonna access the power God gave me and preach the gospel. He gave you a spirit that's full of love. Now, if you're today and you're thinking, man, kulang ko sa compassion sa other people, ask God to be compassionate to others. Ask God that you would see people in a different light, that you would have the time to care, to love them. And He gives us what? A spirit of sound mind or self-control. That God was gonna give you the wisdom. You're thinking, how can I preach the gospel to this person? Kung sa pagpasok na ako, saan ako invite? You know what? God's gonna give you a nugget of wisdom. How you can reach out. How you can talk to that person. You'll be surprised. When you're doing one-to-one with a person, pati pumutang siya question. Step out of it. God's gonna supply you with the knowledge, with what you need to answer and to preach the gospel. Point is, God empowers us through the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. The only thing that's needed is us to step out in faith, to get out there, to go out there and preach the gospel. Let me leave you with this. From this quote from St. Augustine. It says there, "Without God, we can't. Without us, God won't. Without God, we can't preach the gospel. Without God, we will not be effective in preaching the gospel. Without God, if the Holy Spirit was not with us, if we didn't say that He was going to be with us to the end of the age, we would be doing a meaningless task, a dauntless task. Di na ako kaya ni. But because God is with us, kaya. We're able to do it, not by our own might, but by the Holy Spirit. And it says there, without us, God won't. You know what? God can do it Himself without our help to make people believe in Him. All of you believe that? He can. He will just open the skies one time, stick out His finger, and hey, world, I'm here. He'll just write something in the sky, I'm real. Just do something super miraculous, and people will just obey. And people just believe on the spot. And you know what the amazing thing is? God has chosen to use us. A sinner, a flawed person, imperfect people, us. He chooses to use us. He gives us the privilege. He gives us this important message, this gospel. He entrusted it to us. Hey, here's the gospel. Okay, now go out there. Preach the gospel to people. He knows we're going to make mistakes. He knows that we're not perfect. But nonetheless, He entrusted it to us to preach the gospel to others. He gives us the privilege. He used us. There's no other way that people can hear and believe the gospel apart from someone preaching to them the gospel. And I believe none of us will be here today if no one preached the gospel to us. All the churches in the Philippines would not exist if Peter didn't preach the gospel to Gentiles, if no one preached the gospel, if the disciples didn't preach the gospel, if they remained fearful throughout history, if people did not step out in faith to preach the gospel, we wouldn't be here today. I don't even want to think about where I would be right now without the gospel. But because people had the guts, risk rejection, got rid of biases, stepped out in faith, walked up to us, preached the gospel to us, now we are here. We get to enjoy worshiping God, God's presence, God's love, God's blessing, this new life in God. We enjoy salvation. We enjoy all these things because we heard of the good news of the gospel. And now, so many other people need to hear it as well. And God wants to use you. God wants to use you to bring life change, to bring hope, to bring the gospel to the people around you. He wants to use you. So get rid of any doubts, hesitance, hindrances that tells you, dili lang ko pwede ani, dito ko pwede ani, babala ka dito. You know what? Is that even me gonna force you? God Himself is asking, inviting, commanding us to preach the gospel. And I hope and I pray that we may do so. And as we do so, we will get to experience so much breakthrough, so much testimonies around us. Because whenever the gospel is preached, breakthroughs, miracles, testimonies will follow. That's how you grow in your relationship with God. You disciple. The more you disciple, the more you preach the gospel, the more breakthroughs and testimonies you get to experience in your life. I hope, church, that we would be encouraged to preach the gospel. One simple word I want to leave with everyone as we talk about preaching the gospel. And that is the simple word. Go. Tell your seatmate, go and preach the gospel. Go out there. Go out there and preach the gospel. Go out there and risk being rejected. Go out there and risk the failure. Go out there and risk, you know, everything. Go out there, walk up those people, preach the gospel. Go out there, walk up those people. You never know. Maybe they've been waiting for you to preach the gospel. Man, ano, finally. Ay, nakatunog na kuha ni. You know what? I've always wondered, ngayon, nanay ka, thank you for talking to me. You'll never know. Go out there and preach the gospel, church. Go out there and preach the gospel.